after his death and resurrection. We count from the first chapter of Acts in the third verse. Brings out the fact that he spent 40 days with his disciples, speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Such is the subject that we have before us this evening, and its importance is still great today, though but few will heed the message concerning it. After Jesus had closed his ministry, and just before his ascension, he gave the apostles commandment to go out and to preach that gospel, asking them to preach to the nations throughout the world, stating, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." There are but two things before the children of men: salvation or condemnation. In other words, in other places, we have two things standing out before us: life and death. No wonder it was penned in the third chapter of Acts, verses 19 through 21, like this: "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Repentance. Jesus had commanded that it should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That is brought out in the 24th chapter of Luke, along about verses 45 or near there. Repentance, after hearing the gospel of the kingdom. When one desires to have a part in that kingdom, then there are certain things they should do to enter therein. It is not in my subject this evening to enter into that, but rather to speak some about the kingdom and the work of restitution. Noticing again now from that third chapter of Acts, he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The Lord there referring to the God of heaven himself. And then the 20th verse reads, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive." After Jesus had spoken with his disciples those 40 days concerning the kingdom of God, he was received up into heaven. The record refers to it in the closing of Mark and of Luke and in the opening of the book of Acts. Jesus was received up into heaven. He was placed there at his Father's right hand. It is declared in the first chapter of Hebrews in the third verse, in the eighth chapter in the first verse, and the 12th chapter in the second verse, as well as many other places. Jesus ascended. He was received up into heaven. And so this record declares, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." Now here I would like to take a moment to draw something for you on the board. When I am reading the scripture, when I am speaking to others, it is my habit within myself, and I hope to convey it to others as much as possible, to think of the places where these scriptures apply. And as I have just been reading from there, during this time was the Savior's ministry. A short time thereafter, he spoke to his apostles. Then he ascended into the heavens. And the record declares he was to be received up until the times of restitution. Some few years ago, in discussing this with a man of a different faith, he endeavored to place the restitution right here.
Now the book shows that Jesus was to be received up into heaven until there's a limiting word.
It would automatically suggest that he will return.
And he is to remain there until the times of restitution.
Therefore, the times of restitution must come following his return.
The prophets of old spoke of the times of restitution. And as has been pointed out in one of the classes here, it is the voice of the prophet. Turn with me now in mind back to the time of creation. There we have an account in the first chapter of Genesis how that after God had finished his work and looked upon it, and according to verse 31, he pronounced it very good. If we turn over to the 38th chapter of Job and notice there at the 10th verse, he spoke of one of the things that he had placed there at that time as being in its decreed place. And so it was with the other things that God had placed at the time of creation. They were in their decreed place. He pronounced them very good. However, changes came later on. Shortly after Adam and Eve had received their instruction, I don't know how long, I don't know of anyone that does know. But after they had received their instruction as to how they should conduct themselves, it wasn't long until they were deceived, that is, she was deceived. For the Apostle Paul penned to Timothy that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. They had been under the instruction to not eat of a certain tree. Along comes the serpent and tells the very opposite story. God had said, "Ye shall surely die." The serpent said, "Ye shall not surely die." The same story goes abroad in the earth today. Time after time, when I go to the place of gathering, when one has passed into the sleep of death, someone stands up, and instead of saying, "Ye shall not surely die," there comes a portion of a poem, "There is no death. What seems so is only transition." And again, we must not think of this one as dead. He is just away, yet again, has just passed into the other room. Such are the deceiving words of the serpent lie yesterday. After their sin, God pronounced some curses. I cannot deal with all of them. However, let me deal just briefly with them. There was a curse there placed upon the earth, and it's tricky. And I noticed there in the 15th verse that of the third chapter, that God made some separations way back over here at the time of creation, some things that would be carried out farther down. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." A portion of it fulfilled when Jesus died upon the cross, the bruising of the heel. I'll not enter into that largely, but passing on to the other part, "It shall bruise thy head." Christ, the seed of the woman, was to bruise the head of the great murderer. For so Jesus referred to the bringing of death upon the children of men. In the second chapter of Hebrews, in verse 14, if I remember correctly, it reads like this: "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." That message, that power of his, is still spread abroad in the land today. Oh, that we might have more to teach the true word of the Lord, to show the people that death is death according to the scriptures, and that the hope is through resurrection. Not only has the Son of God made preparation to remove a part of the sin and that one that brought sin into the world, not only has the Son of God made that preparation through his death, but I read over here in the first chapter, the first letter of John, I think it's the third chapter and the eighth verse, yes. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Restitution already mentioned here. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy not only the devil, I point over here and I'll explain later if I have time. But he made preparation that he might even destroy the works of the devil. When the God of heaven set the earth in order, it was here in peace. Restitution must bring peace back again. Not just a partial peace, but a completeness of peace. Oh, we have had partial peace, but very, very limited down through the ages. I heard at one time how someone compiled a few years out of all behind it, that there had been peace. Very, very peace. There will be some peace spoken when Jesus returns. You read about it in Zechariah the 9th chapter in the 10th verse. When Jesus reigns even from sea to sea and from the river unto the end of the earth, it says that he shall speak peace unto the heathen. But that doesn't bring about a completeness of peace right at the very beginning. There will still be some disobedience under that reign when the saints of God reign with Christ. Peace will be in its completeness when Jesus has taken the last enemy death away from the earth. Let us hear from the voice of the prophets again. From the 14th chapter of Numbers and the 21st verse we read thus. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. As truly as I live, that's the God of heaven, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. There has been very little glory extended to the God of heaven since the days of creation. There will be great glory under the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. But in its fullness it must await till the last enemy death has been taken away from the earth. When Jesus was teaching his apostles to pray, among those things mentioned to them, he taught them, they should say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wanted them to ask the Father, not only for his kingdom to come, but he looked to the completeness of the work there, it seems to me as I read it, for he wanted them to pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Are you imagining, I hope you are not, that there is sin in the presence of God? As we investigate farther here, we will notice through the scriptures of truth that even under the rule of Christ, there will become disobedient. But when he finishes, all will be perfect. And so in the scriptures of truth, perfection is ahead. That little word, will, in there, Thy will be done. Upon investigation, I found something very interesting. In connection with that, in the fourth chapter of Revelation, in the last verse, verse 11, this is what is declared to the God of heaven sitting upon the throne. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The word pleasure there is from the same Greek word that will is in that other expression, Matthew 16. Thy will be done. Oh, the time is coming
when the pleasure of God will be full.
The time when Christ will have removed all enemies away from the earth, taking away death as its last enemy. In the 45th chapter of Isaiah, and the 18th verse, we read thus: For thus saith the Lord that created the heaven, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. He created the earth not in vain. It will be filled with his glory. It won't be long till he will send his son for that work. Much glory will be given him when Jesus rules, but he must complete his work for the earth to be full of the glory of the Lord. It has not been spoken in vain. His word has gone out, and it will accomplish that which I please, to put it in scriptural expression. Come near the earth will be made perfect. Oh yes, people will be made perfect too. We may deal with that at another time. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians now, at the 24th and through the 28th verses, we have this reading. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authorities and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, harking back to that 24th verse, then cometh the end. And I fear there are those, at least I find it so in conversation, that they think of the end as last year, at the beginning of his rule. But as we read, it says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When Jesus ascended into the heaven, he ascended to the right hand of the only one that could give him the authority to return and to set up God's kingdom. When Jesus received that authority, he returned. It is so noted in the 19th chapter of Luke. I'll turn to that shortly. When Jesus returns, then he will rule. And when he has brought all things in subjection, he will deliver up the kingdom to his Father. Not up in point of space, but up in point of authority. There is no suggestion that there will ever be a sky kingdom, but rather the kingdom will be here on the earth, to put it in Daniel's language, under the whole heaven. Not something like that. Under the whole heaven. When people talk to me about the saints going away, either at death or at the coming of the Lord or any other time, then I think of the word in the 10th chapter of Proverbs, and the 30th verse, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. It don't make any difference if they go up in an airplane. The bounds that God has placed around the earth here, having given it for a dwelling of the children of men, they cannot go beyond those bounds. They are going to remain right here for their reward. In the 11th chapter of Proverbs, in the 30th verse, it says, Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked. And reward here, not off someplace else, right here. The 3rd chapter of Acts again, let me draw your attention to the fact that it says, And he, the God of heaven, shall send Jesus Christ. The voice of the prophet throughout ancient days, a test to the things that will transpire after the coming of Jesus. Now I'd like to bring you to that 19th chapter of Ruth. It begins at the 12th verse. That parable. The 11th verse is interesting to read with it. Now as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. Then he called the 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. Inasmuch as this parable pertains to the kingdom of God, who else did the nobleman pertain to than the Son of God? For through the voice of the prophets again, and the testimony of the angel to Mary, we conclude that Jesus, springing from the tribe of Judah, was the one that should be king in the kingdom of God. So as the nobleman went away into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, then he returned. Here is the time of occupying before he returns. You and I today may occupy a few of the room. When he returns, he reckons with his place. I'd like to deal with just two of them at this time. When one comes and says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds, Jesus says, have thou authority over 10 pounds. And to another, have thou authority over this time. Oh, how real. In discussing this question one time with another man, he endeavored to show that the kingdom was in existence now, but it actually was the church. And so, among other things and testimonies from the scriptures, I questioned, I said, how many cities do you rule over? All the answer I got was a smile. Certainly, it's when Jesus returns that he delegates his immortalized saints to have authority over the cities of the earth. In the second chapter of 2 Timothy, and the 12th verse, very familiar to many of you, no doubt, we have these words, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
Here is the time for suffering for you and I. We're living close down here, just before the Master will return. We know neither the day nor the hour, but the time will show that we are very near. If we suffer during this time, oh no, not just suffer with a cold, not just suffer with a broken leg, unless it is to serve the Christ. So many people think they are suffering for Christ, when actually it seems they're making no effort for Christ. Just thinking, it's a hard time to live with their mates. Or I have such a hard time getting this old car again. Or something like that, they're worrying about. Suffering here should be for Christ. And whether we live or whether we die for the gospel, let it be for the glory of God. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. In the second chapter of Revelation, verses 26 and 27, the third chapter of Revelation, verse 21, they have these words, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Reward to rule your time. All the work of restitution starts when Jesus comes, and among the first things to be restored will be the children of God that have suffered for him somewhere back along the street. Even Moses back here looked forward to time. He had respect under the recompense of the reward. What respect have you and I today for the reward? Is our hope in resurrection, in days of better resurrection, as indicated in Hebrews 11:35?
by the hope of the ancients,
was in resurrection, that is, the faithful one.
The hope of the apostles in their day
was in resurrection, redemption from that state of death into which they knew the children of men were appointed to go. But won't you look fearlessly, suffering for Christ, knowing that if they suffered here, they would reign with him when he returned? If you want to read more on that, read the 149th Psalm, verses 5 and 9. Do I hear someone saying, well, who will they rule over? We turn now to the 14th chapter of Zechariah. In the opening of the chapter, we have a scene mentioned there at the close of the stage where the armies of the world will be gathered upon the mountains of Israel. And as we go down through the chapter, it shows the coming of the Lord. It shows a great earthquake. I wish I had time to go I branch out on that about the earthquake, but I never know. Then he talks about some water flowing there. Water that does not flow today. Water that should not be spiritualized, but left just as literal as could possibly be. Water that will flow from the top there near Jerusalem, half of it toward the former sea, the eastern, and half of it toward the hinder sea. In summer and hither shall it be, so states the record in the eighth verse. And then we pass down through the chapter a little farther, and verses 12 to 15, it describes the destruction of those who have gathered on the mountains of Israel against Jerusalem. I would like to turn, before passing on to that 16th verse, to the 34th chapter of Isaiah. Read the first three verses. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth out. That includes you and me, doesn't it? For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. The slain also shall be cast out, and their sins shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. All the portions of scripture that come to mind as I read this along that I haven't time to bring in here. But notice, his fury is upon all their enemies. That's to their utter destruction. Not to the utter destruction of everyone upon the earth, but the military might gather there on the mountains of Israel. Now back to Zechariah 14:60. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left, all the nations which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship. Not go up there, no. We talk about going up to rocks, don't we? Is that up there? Where is that up? That's a little farther. Go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, or the God of heaven himself, and to keep the feast of heaven. Why, when Jesus returns, he will exalt his Father. He is the king and the priest after the order of Melchizedek, king of Jerusalem, priest of the Most High God, exalting the great creator, the Father himself. People will be required to go up to Jerusalem and to worship, for we read on like this, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. R-A-I-N. One time in searching out interesting things about the earth, and even over here during this time, we looked up about water during that 1,000 years of righteous rule of time. And somebody even thought of sweat for us to look up. Look it up sometime, you'll find it once. And it talks about sweat right over here, but it doesn't talk about it being on the immortalized saints. Might be interesting for you to look it up. We're doing a little sweating tonight, maybe that's the reason I thought it. It shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Turn it off. They won't come up. they will be punished.
This is not the perfect age. There is still disobedience there.
And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, and it doesn't rain down there along the river Nile in parts, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles.
This is not a day of perfection, but a day in which Jesus is bringing about perfection.
After he returns, work of restitution will begin. And he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. There are many more things there that I would like to include. But let us pass on to the 11th chapter of Isaiah. No doubt many of you have read from this wonderful chapter. In the first part of it, he talks about the branch in reference to Jesus and of his righteous rule, how he will deal with the people. And in verses 6 and on, it talks about the peaceful condition among the animals. Why, even the condition of the animals today show that Jesus has not returned. The kingdom of God has not been set up. If you don't think so, come on out in the west. You haven't got any animals back here that need a little taming down. We have them out there. The animals will be peaceable when Jesus reigns. And it doesn't talk about as soon as he comes that you'll have everybody go out there and just pat them until they aren't vicious anymore. And as we pass down quickly through the chapter, we notice that there will be an ensign set up for the nation. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Oh, that the residue of men might seek after the living. Aren't those words found over in the 15th chapter of Acts? Forgotten just the verse. I know where it is on the page in the book. The residue of men, after this great struggle, will seek the Lord. You and I can be there to help in that restitution if we now make ready. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah and verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It won't be a matter of running out there and hoeing down the weeds, pulling up the briars by hand, but instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Part of the restitution, yes, right here. Part of it, conceivably. Living waters now will flow out from Jerusalem. I referred to that just a short time ago from the 14th of Zechariah and the 8th verse. But I would like to turn your attention to the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. There are a number of things in that. In reference to this same river, it says river, look in the margin, you will find it saying two rivers. Here the prophet is brought out and there's some measuring done before him. As we pass down in the account there, it says, then said he unto me, verse 8, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Is that restitution? Yes, in part. Listen to it farther down. It shall come to pass that every living thing that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river is, or two rivers, as the margin puts it, shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that fishes shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto Eniglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kind, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt.
Partial restitution, yes. Later on, the completeness of it.
Round about the river there, from verse 12, it tells about the trees, fruit upon it, and the leaves thereof for medicine, or as the margin puts it, bruises and sores. Could anybody suppose that this would be necessary for the saints of God who have been made immortal at his coming, at Christ's coming?
Rather for those nations that are left here. The leaves will be used.
This chapter of Genesis, 22nd verse, we have the words of the Lord there to Noah, like this: while the earth remained, what had happened? A great flood had just come over the earth. Peter referred to it
way back over here. He spoke it out and spoke of it as the world that then was being overflowed with water terror. People, creatures, perish, and the very physical atmosphere condition around about the earth changed. So afterwards, God said, while the earth remains, seasons and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Yet we read over in the 21st chapter of Revelation, there will be a time when there will be no night. Peter clarifies that for us. Third chapter and the seventh verse of the second letter. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word, by the word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. Not just imitation, supposition, or any such, but reserved unto fire. Against the day of judgment and perdition or perishing of ungodly men. While the earth remaineth through the time, even under the day of judgment, the day when God will remove the wicked from the earth by fire. Too hot and it is for me to enter into that subject tonight. You want to talk about it afterwards? I'll sweat it out with you. Reserved. Let me say quickly now, right down through the ages, you can find seed time and harvest, even in the millennium. Read the ninth chapter of Amos, the last few verses. Read the 65th chapter of Isaiah, the last few verses, and a number of other places, the second of Joel, all their plants. There will be seed time and harvest here under this rain. There will be cold and heat because there will be summer and winter, and there will be the rotation of day and night, one following the other. For the city of Jerusalem that will be builded, whose walls will be builded up by strength. Read about it in the 60th chapter of Isaiah and along about verses 10 or 11. That city, the gates of it shall not be shut, day nor night. There will be a day. Yea, when the day of perfection comes, there will be no night. Restitution, Christ. Yet, in its completeness.
Peter said, nevertheless, cause of this fire, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Peter looked for that. I look for it, and if you don't, you ought to. You will if you have the hope of the Scriptures. In the 21st of Revelation, John sees the new heavens and the new earth. He sees the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. He sees the condition there when it says there shall be no night there, and there'll be no day, and a number of other things there. I'm running out of sweat, I guess I have to quit. No night over there. It will be perfect. The nations of them which are saved shall go in and out of that city. Here you have in the 22nd chapter in the 14th verse like this: blessed are they that do the commandments. Are we doing them today? Cannot we increase in doing the will of God, keeping his instructions? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Not as many stars, but as Jesus has promised, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that city that Abraham looked for, whose builder and maker is God,
settle upon thee.
You and I may have a part. All the glories of that suggestion. We'll burn them and rejoice in them. More and more we can do that. And so many things that I would like to have said tonight. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to you, that you may have his truth in your heart and may seek to obey him in all things. My, what we will miss if we are not ready to meet the Lord. May he help you to be ready.
Let's turn to Psalm number 235. There is a great day coming, 235.
Stand while singing, remain standing for a dismissal prayer. I'm going to call on Brother Wes Cummings to lead us in prayer following the song. 235. Thank you.